And now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam on this Monday morning. And we're talking today about living wills. Peter, very good morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. All the best with the event that you've got there, the Farmers Hall. It's exciting. It looks like it's had a nice full weekend so far. Let's hope the rain stays away today and you can still enjoy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. One of the few little fairs that we have that continue year after year. So we wish you all the best for it.
Thank you very much.
Yes, today we'll talk about living wills. You know, a lot of people think that a living will is just a situation. Let's first of all say, what is a living will? A living will is somewhere where people give their body parts to the medical fraternity to use them on patients in need of it. However, there are validity requirements and there are formal requirements that are of the utmost importance. It's not a case of, you know, my other party is involved in a motor vehicle accident. You know, there are organs that I want to donate. I cannot donate them on behalf of somebody. There has got to be a proper will, living will in place. It's separate to an ordinary will. Cannot form part of an ordinary will. Must be a proper separate will made by the person concerned. So a husband can't come along and donate his wife's organs on her death. Because that's what he wants to do. So it's a will that expresses a person's wishes after they have died, which are pre-recorded and must be in writing. So the validity requirements for a living will are that the person, first of all, must be 18 years or older. Anyone under 18 cannot do so. At the time of making the will, the person must have the necessary mental capacity. Very important. Got to be able to prove that the person was mentally stable and understood and knew what they were doing. The person making the will could be allowed to refuse medical treatment if they've been fully informed of their condition. In other words, when machines are put off and if they understand that and the proposed treatment thereof, they must be told you know, what their condition is. And then the doctor, of course, treating the person must be satisfied that the parties have not changed their minds insofar as the living will is concerned. So often, you know, the doctor will chat and see. Often people will say beforehand that there is a living will and make it available to the hospital and the doctors in the event of the person passing on so that the necessary organs or whatever part they're going to use of the body is able to be utilized and preserved. So requirement one is a simple one, like I say, 18 years, straightforward. The person making it needs just to show his date of birth and ensure that that is correct. Requirement two, mental capacity, very important. You know, people sit and laugh and joke and say, oh, if I die, give my kidney away, give my this away and all the rest of it. But it's got to be in writing. It's got to be a decision that you've taken under normal circumstances, knowing full well what you're allowing yourself in for. It becomes more difficult if the person is old, maybe has Parkinson's or something like that. So if you're going to do a living will, make sure you do it when you're able to do it. Doctors are quite capable of assessing the mental capacity of a person. And there are professional people that will tell you exactly what the story is. These days, you get families that challenge it, which is not taken lightheartedly and certainly will be properly looked into should it come about that somebody objects. The requirement is that my only medical treatment where they have been informed of their condition and the possible treatment thereof, and that there is no hope at all. You know, where a person has a chronic or terminal illness and decides to draft a will after finding out that, that is also unproblematic and can be done. The individual is then likely to have discussed the possible treatments with the healthcare provider, the doctor, and is properly informed in that way. So that is the best way to do it beforehand. Before there's any illness, before there's anything that's going to prevent it from happening. So make sure if you're going to do it that you do it now immediately whilst listening to something like this show. Right. The fourth requirement is that the healthcare provider, doctors, have an obligation to protect their patients' lives, of course. They're subject to certain limitations. And then, of course, you can't withhold treatment. If there is treatment that can cure and sort out, that then must take place. So the doctor plays an important role there as well. It's not the control of the individual. It's the control of the medical team together with the healthcare provider. You know, you've got to make sure that the will has been attested to, drafted, signed, and that the doctor is happy with what is before him as well and made aware thereof. So that is basically the validity requirements. The formal requirements is that it must be a will on a separate piece of paper, must clearly identify that it is a living will, and the details that need to be included there, you know, as follows. One, full names as they appear on the identity document together with an identity number. The current residential address of the individual must be on the living will. Okay, you do have instances where people make a living will and move on, buy, sell homes and all the rest of it. But so long as it identifies a positive address at the time of making. A list of the directors and what the individual does not consent to. So that's quite important. So if you're going to do it, you need to find out what you need to consent to if you're going to give your liver or, you know, whatever it is away. The full date on the bottom is very important. It's got to say dated at East London on this 30th day of April 2024 and two witnesses and the individual's signature. And the individual witnesses have got to have their full names and ID document attached to it as well. So it must be signed by the individual and the two witnesses to make it valid. So basically that's what a living will is. The requirements, formal, and the requirements, you know, to make it valid. So it's something that a lot of people, you hear people talk about it. I often hear people talk about that and say, oh, we need to go make a living will, or, oh, it is our intention. Going to make an intention are not going to help. It needs to be reduced to writing, signed properly, and able to be made available to the healthcare team who will take it further once the decision is made. You find this mainly in situations where people have been on machines, the family eventually make a decision to switch the machines off, and certain parts of their body are still good, with no problems, can be used to save another life. And the like. So that's basically a short and sweet way, but that's a living will.
And Peter, just a question around that. The living will, does that at all tie in with your wishes where, for instance, you put together a document that says you don't want life support machines to keep you alive when there's pretty much no hope of recovery? Is that a process tied into this as well, or is that a separate?
That can be put in as a clause into a living will. It is valid in a living will to say, you know, if it is there, the decision must be made. I do not want to be kept alive on a machine. I would, you know, my wish is that my living will takes precedent and that my parts are donated to some worthy cause in that regard. So it's very definitely a clause that you can add to it, and which most of the time is added to a living will.
Okay, so those are the concepts, because, you know, quite often, and I know it's a morbid thing to think about, and it's probably one of those more difficult wills to process and to sign, but you know quite often if a person, let's say, dies tragically, and as I say, this is really a morbid topic, but it's something that's very important to think about, is a person dies young, those organs could give life to a number of individuals who could then go on to have a fulfilled life that might be struggling with kidney or other issues.
Absolutely, Wayne. I mean, I often don't see it that they're looking for a certain type of kidney, they're looking for liver, they're looking for all sorts these days. that they can use to transplant. It's amazing. I mean, the heart and all sorts of things. It's, the medical field is so extensive these days. There's almost every part of the body that can be used and transferred from one person to another. So it is very nice. It is, you know, a lot of people also adopt the attitude. I know when we do wills, yeah, and the subject comes up, a lot of people adopt, oh, no, I don't want to live in someone else. I don't want to be a part of someone else and live forever with, you know, another person's body. Those are some of the answers you get. But also you get a lot of people who are concerned about that and feel that they benefit society by doing a living will.
Right.
Yeah.
As I say, a very emotive and one of those very, very difficult life decisions that one can take, but one that could also make a big difference to another person's life.
Absolutely. You know, your loss is another person's gain, as they say, an ugly way of putting it, but it is. You know, it can bring joy to another family. And big joy, because you've got so many people suffering, so many people that need help, so many people that look forward to the assistance from a living will, that it's really a really nice thing to do. But yeah, like I say, you've got to be brave to do that.
Yes.
But you've got to make sure that your decision is made when you're in a normal, stable mental condition. And it must be reduced to writing. It has to be. Cannot be done any other way.
And that will be done in conjunction with your attorney and your medical doctor.
Correct. Correct. It must be done properly in writing, like I keep on saying.
Very interesting. Peter, thank you very, very much for the chat this morning. And just to confirm, if somebody wants to get in touch with Alam's attorneys, they might have a legal question or they might actually be contemplating putting together a living will. How do they get in touch?
They can get hold of us by going into Facebook and, Alam's at a S to our surname, Allams. And then what you can do there is, once you've done that, you can find all our details in there, where we are, of course, on your website, on your Facebook as well, and on ours. The chat is put there every week so they can follow up with any chat that we've had beforehand. And then, of course, they must feel free to visit us at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, little side street where Pet Stores is. Telephone number 043-721-018.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. And of course, as you say, the chat will be on our website later on. And you can pick it up there on wildcoastradio.co.za and on our social media channels. Peter, have a great week and chat again next week, Monday.
Thanks,
Peter. Okay. There we go. Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle chat. And that brought you with the compliments of Allam's attorneys.